You are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes, and I'd like to welcome everybody to tonight's program. Tonight, we're going to be talking on Beating Neuropathy Radio about some of the nutritional factors involved in neuropathy and pain. And, you know, this is one of the most frequent group of questions that we receive, which is a good thing because there are a couple of considerations that every neuropathy patient needs to know with regard to nutrition. Number one is nutrient deficiencies can be secondary to certain illnesses and diseases, and we're going to start off tonight by talking about that. And the next point is that certain nutrient deficiencies can also cause or aggravate neuropathy, and indeed some nutrient deficiencies have been proven to aggravate pain and our perception of pain as well as neuropathy. So without any further delay, let's just start tonight's program off by talking about a couple of the things that we see in the clinic that can in fact result in neuropathy and neuropathic pain. And these two things are alcoholism and excess alcohol consumption, because you can consume excess alcohol and not necessarily be an alcoholic, and or you can suffer from celiac disease or related gastrointestinal disorders, not even know it, but instead be experiencing the symptoms of neuropathy. So let's start with excess alcohol consumption. Excess alcohol consumption is a major health risk factor. There's no question. In fact, this is something that's very often debated in the scientific literature as well as the public literature. And experts try to tell society at large how much alcohol is too much, is a little bit good, is a little bit not good, should you have red wine with your dinner every night, and so on and so forth. Well, I will tell you that in the 30-plus years that I've been studying nutrition and nutritional medicine, that there were studies 30 years ago that said that one drink per day is entirely too much because it taxes your liver tremendously. And now there are other studies that contradict that and basically say, oh, well, if you have a glass of red wine with dinner, you may have less heart disease, but wait, you may also have an increased incidence of cancer of the gastrointestinal tract. So where do you go? Well, you know, as I tell patients all the time, it's just like our moms taught us, and that is too much of a good thing is bad. Alcohol consumption is another really good area where moderation is really the key to not overdoing it. Personally, I don't recommend that patients with neuropathy or neuropathic pain consume alcohol because it does tend to cause a lot of adverse reactions, not the least of which is affecting blood sugar, nutrient metabolism, in other words, how our body handles certain nutritional components like thiamine or vitamin B1, etc., that can really wreak havoc with a neuropathy patient. So in active pain, or chronic pain for that matter, as well as neuropathy, I don't recommend alcohol consumption at all. But be that as it may, one of the things that concerns me is that despite the warnings to keep alcohol consumption in check, it is probably the most commonly abused food substance or near food substance that we have in our society. Unfortunately, some patients think it's perfectly okay and perfectly acceptable to drink a bottle or half a bottle of wine per day. I've even had patients say, well, I come home from work and I have 6 beers, doesn't everybody? The bottom line is that neither of those approaches to health is going to serve you long. I have seen alcoholic neuropathy develop from chronic alcohol consumption in what most people would consider relatively moderate consumption. But the key is that overconsumption of alcohol, if it takes place over a long enough period of time, can cause a very, very significant and a very, very debilitating neuropathy. One of the other things that's very important to understand is that when people tend to consume excess alcohol, they also tend to smoke. Could be cigarettes, could be cigars, etc. And the bottom line is that these two health habits can have very additive effects, and the net result is both of them can really create a lot of problems. So the first thing that we want to get out of the way is that in terms of nutrition and neuropathy, one of the things that we believe every neuropathy patient should avoid is alcohol. Now, if you should choose to consume alcohol, you do need to keep in mind that your consumption does need to be moderated. There is a dose-response relationship, meaning the higher the alcohol consumption, as well as the more frequent the consumption, the worse the neuropathy or the aggravation of neuropathy can be. Likewise, the higher risk you are for certain forms of cancer and certain other nutrient deficiencies. So something to really, really keep in mind. The school that I subscribe to for my patients is basically no alcohol in neuropathy. And in terms of moderate consumption, in my opinion, is not more than 3 drinks and not more than 3 times per week. So with that said, let's move on to one of the other more common causes of nutritional neuropathy, and this would be the neuropathy that's secondary to gastrointestinal disease. Now, just about everybody listening, I'm sure, has known or has experienced some gastrointestinal upset. You know, almost all adults at some particular point in time in life have heartburn, diarrhea, constipation, or other symptoms that are sometimes basically referred to as irritable bowel type symptoms. And it's one thing if these just occur after, let's say, a period of overindulgence or poor eating or vacation, what have you. But it's a whole other animal if any of these things go on for long periods of time. There's another very, very significant issue with regard to indigestion and poor digestion in our society, and that is the rampant over-medication of things like indigestion with the H2 blockers and other medications which are designed to reduce the symptoms of stomach upset or indigestion or heartburn, as most patients describe it. The problem with these medications and consuming these over long periods of time is twofold. Number one is poor health habits can continue unabated, and the other issue, of course, is that the chronic administration of these medications has a list of side effects, sometimes a mile long, that's worse than the actual indigestion. So simply treating the indigestion problem with a drug as opposed to correcting the underlying behaviors that may have caused the indigestion or continue to cause the indigestion, such as poor food choices, eating too late in the evening, high fat consumption, high refined food consumption, etc., really can create a whole host of problems, not the least of which are some nutrition problems that really can get us into a tremendous degree of difficulty. So that really is kind of an overview of the more common gastrointestinal conditions that are related to nutrient deficiencies, and nutrient deficiencies, as we said earlier, can certainly aggravate underlying health conditions but can also cause neuropathy. One of the other things we're going to talk about when we come back from the break is a condition that many people have heard about, and that is celiac disease. What a lot of people may not know is that one of the first signs of celiac disease can actually be neuropathy. So once again, you are listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must act today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989. While neuropathy analysis slots are still open, that's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back to Beating Neuropathy Radio. And tonight what we're doing is talking about some of the more common nutrient neuropathies or nutrient-related neuropathies. And before the break, we spoke about the negative impact that alcohol consumption can have on health, including the development of neuropathy and other very painful and debilitating disorders, not the least of which is cancer of the gastrointestinal tract. The gastrointestinal tract would include things like the esophagus, stomach, pancreas, etc. So, again, a very, very serious health issue. One of the other things that we did discuss is the chronic consumption of medications that are commonly prescribed for indigestion and heartburn and the side effects that they can have, as well as letting poor health habits continue, which really is my most significant issue with the chronic usage of those medications. You know, it's one thing to have a condition or a disease that's not correctable and the medication is mandatory, but it's another thing entirely to continue with very, very poor health habits and simply hope that taking some medication over a prolonged period of time is going to reduce the symptoms, but the patient nonetheless can continue with the poor health habits. The bottom line is that over a period of months and years, this can create a whole host of other issues. So, once again, just a word of caution there with regard to your own health consumption, your own food consumption, and your health. The next thing that I want to talk about tonight is the relationship of neuropathy and many forms of chronic pain to other dietary disorders. And the first one we're going to talk about is what's called celiac disease. Now, celiac disease is a very, very common scenario, if you will, in healthcare practices. You know, up to 1% of the population, it's been estimated, may actually suffer from celiac disease. And what, Frank, celiac disease is when the molecule called gluten, which is a component of wheat and some of the grains, causes a profound and very, very severe irritation of the gastrointestinal tract to the point that certain nutrients cannot be absorbed properly. When this occurs over a long period of time, neuropathy can result. And let's back up a little bit and you'll understand why. At the top of the hour today, we spoke about the fact that certain nutrients in particular, like the B vitamins, thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, and so on, can really, when they are absent or significantly reduced in the diet, cause the development of what we call nutritional neuropathies or nutrition-related neuropathies. Well, because celiac disease sometimes can manifest differently in different people, sometimes one of the initial presentations of celiac disease can simply be a patient with a history of gastrointestinal upset, so to speak, and neuropathy. So this is why one of the things that we look for in the clinic are patients that may, in fact, have underlying celiac disease, and this could be the cause of their neuropathy. It's certainly one of the considerations. But the bottom line is that celiac disease, although as common as it is, does seem to present a diagnostic challenge many times. And I think the reason for this is that sometimes patients present with relatively mild belly symptoms, if you will, and some patients present with severe symptoms. Now, obviously, it's relatively easier to diagnose if the patient has severe GI symptoms. The patient is very commonly referred to a gastroenterologist. A series of tests are run, including a test for gluten intolerance or gluten allergy. And the bottom line is that these come back in the presence of symptoms. Oftentimes, the gastroenterologist will make a diagnosis of celiac disease. But far too common, what we do find happen is that in milder cases of celiac disease or simply patients who don't tolerate gluten well at all, that they still can have some of the issues that celiac patients have. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Gluten is a molecule that is known to cause some very, very significant irritation in many, many patients. In fact, we know that patients who, frankly, test negative for celiac disease and, frankly, test negative for a gluten allergy, so to speak, when still having eliminated gluten from their diet, have a dramatic improvement in their symptoms. Well, why is this? Nobody is 100% sure, but one of the reasons I believe this is so is that in many, many people, gluten just like some of the substances found in dairy, do seem to cause not allergic reactions, but sensitivity reactions that cause an increase in pain and pain-producing chemicals inside the body. Now, again, everybody is different, and this is not an absolute, but one of the things that we have observed often enough to make a recommendation to our patients is that one of the first things we recommend if you suffer from neuropathy is you get off gluten and get off dairy. And, you know, we've done lots of work on this before. Most recently, we did a couple of videos on dairy and your health, and it's certainly worth pursuing. Well, we could do literally hours simply upon gluten and its effect on health. If you want to learn a whole lot more about it, I recommend you pick up the book called Wheat Belly. In Wheat Belly, the author describes how many patients can have dramatic improvements in their symptoms from simply getting off of gluten. Another really, really good resource is if you take a look at the new South Beach diet, you know that the new South Beach diet really recommends that we don't consume gluten at all. Well, let us add to that and say that we don't recommend you consume gluten either, because as a protein molecule, not only can it cause a whole host of health problems, but it can actually cause some significant irritation and aggravation in pain in patients that suffer from neuropathy and other forms of chronic pain. Also, gluten has been linked by some authors to a whole host of disorders, including skin rashes, or sometimes what's called atopy, eczema, and widespread aches and pains, bloating, fluid retention, and even depression. The bottom line is this, is that if you find any single nutrient, especially if it be something that is commonly known to cause irritation of neuropathy or aggravation of underlying pain, such as gluten, that you're far better off to avoid it. The good news is, in this day and age, it's far easier to avoid gluten than it's ever been possible. You know, with new labeling and plus the widespread availability of so many more gluten-free foods, it is far easier to go gluten-free than ever before. One of the other things to keep in mind is that when you start to go gluten-free, you still need to be very, very careful with regard to carbohydrate consumption. Consuming a diet high in carbohydrates can wreak havoc with your blood sugar, triglycerides, and so on, and this in itself can cause a nutritional neuropathy. When we come back from the next break, we're going to talk a little bit more about dietary composition and nutrients and their impact upon neuropathy. Once again, you're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a couple moments.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Tonight, what we're discussing are the impact of certain nutrient deficiencies and dietary behaviors on our health in particular, but most especially the impact upon neuropathy and chronic pain. Before the break, we started to talk about carbohydrate consumption. We spoke about carbohydrate consumption in the context of making sure that once we decide to go gluten-free with our diet, that we still have a very, very close watch on our carbohydrate consumption in our diets. And the reason for this is very, very important. Number one is that we do know that one of the primary causes of metabolic syndrome or prediabetes is excess consumption of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates or sugars, when consumed either too frequently or in too higher amounts or both, can cause a whole host of health problems. And one of the most serious health problems, of course, includes neuropathy, as well as its cousins, heart disease, vascular disease, and so on. Now, the only exception to increasing carbohydrate consumption would be if you are participating in some very, very heavy physical activity or endurance exercise, such as running marathons, triathlons, and so on, or otherwise engaging in some very, very physical activity, which we certainly hope that if you recover, you're able to do. But the bottom line is that most patients who suffer from peripheral neuropathy and chronic pain don't regularly engage in heavy physical activity, so we do need to make sure that we curtail our carbohydrate consumption. And the reason I mention this is that we spoke about how easy it is now to get our hands on foods which are free of gluten, so to speak, but if you read the labels carefully, you will also note that it can be very, very easy to get high amounts of carbohydrates because many of these gluten-free foods are based upon things like rice and so on. So here's a word of caution. Read your labels carefully and count your foodstuffs. For example, if you are snacking on gluten-free crackers or gluten-free cookies, you may note that two or three of them are going to push you to the point of being over 20 grams of carbohydrates. What you need to understand is that consuming more than 15 grams of carbohydrates at a time, assuming that you're of average weight and average physical activity, can create a whole host of health problems. We recommend that neuropathy and pain patients, virtually every patient, try to follow a zone-type diet, meaning that carbohydrates are controlled and they are restricted to no more than 15 grams per meal. Now, this would include, for example, if you were to have, let's say, a lunch that, in terms of a carbohydrate equivalent, you would have perhaps a half an apple for carbohydrates, or if you were consuming a sandwich or a sandwich-like meal, you would have no more than one half a slice of bread, or perhaps a small thin slice of pita bread, and so on. Otherwise, your meal would consist of proteins and fats. So for the lunch example, possibly a salad consumed with a half a slice of gluten-free bread consisting of not more than 15 grams of carbohydrates would be acceptable. The protein could be something lean like salmon or chicken or rarely red meat and so on. And then also fats would be added things like vegetable oils, olive oil, earth balance, and so on, preferably consumed on a bed of either fresh vegetables, grilled vegetables, or a salad. So when you start to prepare your meals this way, you really will look a lot more carefully at what you're actually consuming. You know, one of the things that we hear a lot from patients who have not yet made the switch towards a closer eye on their diet and neuropathy, oh, it's too expensive, I can't do this and I can't do that. The bottom line is that if you go to the grocery store and you take a look at what most people fill their shopping carts with, and we're talking about things like soda, snack foods, and so on, those foods can not only get very expensive, but they also can fill your shopping cart up very easily. Whereas if you start to eliminate things like soda, candies, sweets, desserts, and even breads, and the bottom line is you focus primarily on the vegetables and then the lean proteins that go with them, lean proteins including things like we mentioned earlier, salmon, perhaps lean poultry, and things like tofu if you're going to a vegetarian or vegan type option. All of these things can go a long way towards reducing your food cost tremendously. Another place where you can really drop not only your carbohydrate consumption but your costs is when you start to drop your consumption of dairy products, including things like ice cream, creamers, and so on. So the bottom line is it doesn't cost any more money to eat healthier than not. What it does cost is more time and some behavioral changes when you start to make your selections. But all these things are really important when it comes to understanding nutritional neuropathy. The last point I want to make with regards to tonight's show, you know, we spoke about excess alcohol consumption, we spoke about gluten intolerance and celiac disease as contributing to or causing neuropathies in and of themselves. Celiac disease, gluten consumption, as well as excess alcohol consumption all fuel our body's production of inflammatory biochemical pathways. And when we help our bodies or foster our body's production of inflammatory pathways, we tend to hurt, we tend to ache, we tend to be very, very uncomfortable, and anybody that suffers from chronic pain or neuropathy really can have a very, very difficult time. So one of the reasons that we are so firm and strong with our patients, both on our radio show here as well as in our printed literature and even on our Facebook every single day, is we do know that when patients with chronic health problems, including neuropathy, do clean their diet up, do go to a plant-based diet, are very careful to choose high-quality proteins, limit carbohydrate consumption, and so on, not only do their pain levels go down, their energy levels go up, and also their lipid profiles, meaning things like triglycerides and cholesterol, and even blood sugars improve tremendously as well. All these things have a big impact on our overall level of health, but also can have a big impact on the progression or the regression of many forms of peripheral neuropathy. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to have you with me this evening. I hope you learned some things. For those of you who have not recently been on Beating Neuropathy Facebook, get yourself over there. Again, keep in mind that this is the forum that we take routine questions from. You can also consult with myself and our team of clinicians by simply going to neuropathydr.com, schedule an appointment at one of our treatment centers, and or by telephone, and we're more than happy to do whatever we can to assist you, your family, and your loved ones to help end the misery of neuropathy. So once again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to tonight's episode of Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll see you back next week. Good night now.